My name is Garland Robinson. If you want to turn again in your Bible, the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 14, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And John was caused to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Here we take great heart and encouragement in knowing that the Lord is on our side. We love Him, we love His Word, and it's by that Word we know what God requires of us. We know what to do. If it were not for the Word of God, we would know the character of God. We wouldn't know the love of God. We wouldn't know the patience and the mercy and the grace of God if it were not for His Word. But there are many that hold in disdain the Holy Word of God. They despise the Word of God. I don't understand it. Don't say that I can see that at all, but they hate what they call commandment keeping. And they will equate or say that commandment keeping is equal to legalism or Phariseeism. And they think of that, that's an evil thing. And they don't like for anyone to call attention to the Scriptures, to the Bible, God's Word. They are those who say that they love and they have mercy and they have grace, and they would say that grace and law are mutually exclusive. That is, there's no parallel between them. They would tell us that there's either grace and no law, or there is either law and no grace. They don't see the two that are compatible, but they are. It's the grace of God that gives us the law. In Titus, the second chapter, in verse 12 and 13, we read there that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. What does the grace of God do? It teaches us. How does the grace of God teach us? It teaches us in the Word. He doesn't whisper to us. He does not nudge us. It is not something within me that I just feel a certain way. It is a rational, logical procession of reading the Bible. The grace of God, it's appeared everywhere. And what does it do? It teaches us that to live soberly and righteously and godly is acceptable with God. And that's what we're to do in this world. And that's the grace of God that does that. So grace and law, the law of God, the Word of God, are not opposite poles. They go hand in hand. Everything the Bible teaches, when we rightly divide the Word, goes hand in hand. We sometimes have an expression like a hand in a glove. It fits just like a glove. When I stick my hand in a glove, it normally has five fingers. And my fingers just, you know, it just fits. Well, that's what grace and law is. It fits. But those who would tell us with disdain and disgust, you are a commandment keeper, and that's mean, that's ugly, what they've done is been drinking from the wells of the cemeteries. And I said that correctly. I know they think of it as a seminary, when actually it's a cemetery. They're drinking from the proverbial theological cemeteries and cesspools, and they're picking up all of these things. Excuse me, all of these things that's not according to it, thus saith the Lord. We need to condition our hearts and minds knowing that how we are acceptable in God's sight is because, number one, we love Him. But number two, we obey Him. Is it not so that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 21? Then not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what a lot of people like to do. They just like to say, oh, Jesus, save me. They like to say, Jesus, come into my heart. They like to say, oh, I've got a feeling in my heart that I could not trade. I don't care if it's a stack of Bibles this high. They will ask, I wouldn't trade this feeling in my heart. It's not about feeling. It's not about emotional feeling. But it's about rational, logical, Bible-believing, Bible-obeying people. Again, what did the Lord say? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, of the kingdom of heaven. Then He says, who will? But they that do the will of God in heaven. What is the will of God? That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. That involves the commandments that we read in the Scriptures. And so when we understand that, that's why we can read here, blessed are they that keep the commandments. 14 and verse 12. And then we also can read over in Revelation chapter 22, and we notice 14 here. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Who is it that's blessed of God? Who is it that's going to heaven? It's they who do His commandments. The commandments of God, we may think of them as rules. Rules. We are rule keepers, not rule keepers only. Again, people so often will go to the Bible and they'll pick out a verse and they'll read it because they love that particular verse or that particular statement, and then they will put the word only in there. There are some who would tell us that salvation is by grace only. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches that we're saved by grace, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, but not grace only. It teaches that we are justified by faith, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, but not by faith only. Matter of fact, James points out in James chapter 2, beginning of verse 17, that we ought to know that we're not saved by faith only. There has to be obedience. There has to be rules. There has to be commandments of God. And it's because of our disposition, our heart, our loving kindness, our will within us that seeks to please God. And the only way we can do that is by following His rules, obeying His commandments. And we read in the Scripture that His commandments are not grievous. They're not so taxing. They're not so burdensome. God is not in heaven as if He's just trying to really put His palm down on us and demand things. That's not what it's about. But the grace of God teaches us to live a sober and righteous and a godly life because God knows what's best for us. As a matter of fact, some of these people say, well, we can't live a perfect life. And they're using that in the sense of sinless. And that's true. Romans 3 verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. All of sin comes show the glory of God, verse 23. So they say, nobody can keep the commandments of God. Yes, we can. God wants us to. He commands us to. Jesus, in John 14 verse 15, said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. I didn't write those words. Our blessed Lord spake those words and caused by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John, to record those words in the Bible that we can read it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I like the way it's worded over in John chapter 15 and verse 14. There we read this, that Jesus says, ye are my friends. Now, do we want to be a friend of Jesus? Absolutely, don't we?
There will be no enemies of the Lord in heaven. We want to be a friend of the Lord's. And so the Lord says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. So are God's people to be commandment keepers? Absolutely. But commandment keepers only? No. You can't put the word only in any of these passages to the exclusion of other things. We have to love God. We have to obey God. But not love Him only, not obey Him only. It has to be genuine and from the heart. And if you will, turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. And put your ribbon, your marker, 1 John chapter 2. Because we're going to come back, we're going to look at least four passages in 1 John that tell us about commandment keeping. Because that's how we know that we're right with God, is when we keep His commandments. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. Some years ago, there was a very popular speaker among Churches of Christ in the youth activities. This fellow's name was Jeff Walling. You may remember him. Used to be in California. He's out in the Carolinas now. Very, very popular with the young people. And he was in great demand, preaching to throngs and thousands of them. He preached a sermon one time. I listened to it on tape, where he's describing how we know God. How we know the Lord. And unless we know the Lord, then we cannot be saved. We won't be able to go to heaven. And he really emphasized the word know. Let me illustrate it this way. How many know Henry Lockwood? A lot of people may say, well, I never heard of that name. So you don't know him, right? What if some of you said, well, I've heard that name, but I can't say that I know him. Others may say, well, I've met him and I've talked to him, but I can't really say that I know him. But there would be those who know him well, that are good friends, they associate, and wives, you know what I'm talking about. You, every one of you wives, could say, I know my husband. I know how he thinks. I know how he's going to react if this confronted it. We talk about knowing, that we really know. And so he's going through this sermon and he's telling all these young people how we know the Lord. We've got to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And all the while, I'm sitting there listening to that thinking, well, when's he going to get to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3? So this verse tells us how we know and when we know the Lord. Read it again. Hereby we do know that we know Him. How do we know that? If we keep His commandments. You know, he went through that whole sermon and never once looked at 1 John 2 and verse 3. How could you preach a sermon on knowing the Lord? It's not including that passage that tells us how we do it. But that's the kind of mindset we're talking about. People that hate the Bible as a book of rules or a set of commandments, and they don't want that. They want all the good stuff and all the fluffy stuff and all the lovey stuff out of it and ignoring everything else. But it all goes together. It all goes hand in hand. Notice then, as he's telling us here, that we know Him by keeping His commandments. Then let's go on, look in chapter 3 and verse 22. And here we learn that we can know that our prayers are answered. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. Does God want us to keep His commandments? Yes, verily. That's what the Scriptures tell us in every place. Is it only keeping the commandments? No. No, not at all. It would be nothing more than a mechanical process if all anyone did was just follow the Bible and keep those commandments. There would be no heart in it. There would be no spirit in it. You remember in John 4, in verse 24, where the Lord said, "They that worship Me shall worship Me in spirit and in truth." Two things. Worship in spirit and in truth. The spirit there is My spirit, your spirit. Then as we worship God with a heartfelt humility, we intend to pour out ourselves before God. It is with meaning. It is with feeling. There is a sense of emotionalism tied to that, obviously. Not only emotionalism, but that's involved because I intend to worship God. And I bow down myself, prostrate before Him because I love Him. I want to praise Him. But then the Lord said also in truth, meaning according to the Scriptures. I can't just pour out my heart to God. I just don't bow down to Him and just do anything. It has to be governed or regulated according to the Bible, the commandments of God. We've got to worship God in sincerity, but also have to worship God in the order or the way in which He has commanded us to worship Him. And if we want our prayers to be answered, how's that going to happen? Not only that we have faith when we pray, not only that we believe and we hope, but 1 John 3:22 says, because we keep His commandments. We read in Proverbs 15, verse 29, that the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. How is it that we can be righteous before God? How does anyone be righteous before God? There's not but one way you can do that. By doing those things that God has required us to do. When we do those things with the right motive and the right heart, then we are righteous before God. God doesn't hear our prayers unless we're righteous. But we have to do. We have to act. We have to obey. What? Not just anything. But we obey His Word, His commandments, and thereby we are deemed righteous by God. But then we also read in Proverbs 28 in verse 9, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination before God." What makes our prayers not being heard? What makes our prayers, as this passage says, an abomination before God? It tells us in the very first phrase, when we do not turn our attention to the commands of God. When we don't do the will of God, we don't do the Word of God, we don't obey God. He said, if you don't obey God, then your prayers are useless. They are an abomination before Him. So, does the Bible place any emphasis then upon commandment keeping? You better believe it does. Because that's how we prove what we have in our heart. How we feel before God. How we intend to devote our lives to Him. And the only way we do that is by keeping His commandments. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Them that do evil are those that don't keep His commandments. Because the Word is that which will judge us in the last day. Jesus said that in John chapter 12 and verse 48. And did you know, without the Word, without the commandments of God, we can't even sin. Romans chapter 4 verse 15 says, "Where there is no law, there is no sin." Well, God's Word is the law. And when we violate God's Word, that's how we sin. That's when we sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4. It says there that sin is a transgression of the law. Well, what is the law? It's the law of Christ. A lot of people confuse the word law and think of law in any context as mean, as evil, or wrong. Well, the word law in the Scriptures is used in a variety of ways. Particularly is it used in respect of the law of Moses. And the Bible says plainly, we are not justified by the law. We're not made right before God by the law. But what he's talking about is the law of Moses. Nobody today in the Christian age are justified before God because they obey the law of Moses. But we are justified and made right before God today when we obey the law of the New Testament, doing what God has commanded. Not in simply and only in a mechanical way, but because of the intent and the heart and the spirit within us that we're devoting our lives before God. But that is shown to be genuine and proof when we obey His commandments. Let's look on then at a third item. Drop down to verse 24 in 1 John chapter 3. And here we can know that we dwell, we live, we abide in the Lord. And how do we know that we're actually in the Lord? How do we know that? Verse 24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." The Lord has given us his Spirit, but his Spirit teaches us to do God's will. So how do we know that we're in the Lord? The only way we do that, verse 24 says, by keeping his commandments. If we look back at chapter 2 and verse 5 again, notice that. Chapter 2, verse 5. "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and we know that we are in him." In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that salvation is in Christ. That's where salvation is. Those who are in Christ are saved. Those who are not in Christ are lost. So if you're going to be saved, if I'm going to be saved, if anybody in the world is going to be saved, it's only going to be in Christ. Not out of Christ, but in Christ. Well, how do we know that we're in Christ? 1 John 3, verse 24. Because we keep His commandments. We learn in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" We are baptized into Jesus Christ. Since the saved are in Christ and those out of Christ are lost, then I want to be in Christ. You want to be in Christ. Not out, but in. How do I get into Christ? I get into Christ by being baptized into Him. But what is baptism? It's a command of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 48, when Peter was with Cornelius, teaching him the Word of God, he says that we command you to be baptized. And baptism is what puts you into Christ. And that's where salvation is. Romans 8 and verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ." If I'm in Christ, I'm not going to be condemned. If I'm not in Christ, I'm going to be condemned. Or all who are not in Christ are condemned. So I want to be in Christ. Well, how do we know that we're in Christ? 1 John 3:24. Because we keep His commandments. If we do that, we know that we are in Him and that He is in us. That ought to be simple enough. That ought to be recognized and understood. But He mentions here about the Spirit. He giveth us the Spirit. The Spirit dwells within us. Not in a literal or miraculous way, not in a personal way, but He dwells in us the same way Jesus dwells in us. Because the Bible tells us that God dwells in us, that Jesus dwells in us, and the Spirit dwells in us. All three of them dwell. I don't know why there's such a controversy over the Spirit. No real controversy over God and the Lord dwelling in us, but there's controversy about the Spirit. How is it that the Lord dwells in us? Ephesians 3:17, by faith. How does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? Same way, by faith. We wouldn't even know there'd be a Holy Spirit if it weren't for the Scriptures. We wouldn't even know that He dwells in us if it were not for the Bible telling us that it is so. So how do we know that our prayers are answered? By keeping His commandments. How do we know that we know the Lord? By keeping His commandments. How do we know that He dwells in us and we in Him? By keeping His commandments. Then the last one we'll look at, number 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Now, how do we know that? When we love God and keep His commandments. Are we commandment keepers? You bet. You bet. We're not ashamed of that and we're not embarrassed by that. But we don't put the word only there. We're not only commandment keepers and we're not relying on how good I am and how well I can keep God's commandment. No, we're saved by the grace of God. God's great benefit and favor that He does for us. The sacrifice of the Lord on the cross. All that the Bible says about that. The redeeming blood that He shed. That's applied to my life and your life or anyone that's saved. But when and how does that happen? By loving God and doing His will. We sincerely pour out our heart in sincerity before God. And that is proven, made active by obeying His commandments. So, 1 John 5 and verse 2, how do we know that we love the children of God? Well, who are the children of God? That's us, isn't it? How do we know that we love one another? How do we know, how is it proven that we have the love of the brotherhood? You remember Jesus in John 13, verse 34 and 35, speaks about love. And He says, by this shall all men know that you're My disciples. If you love one another. Love was so uncharacteristic of the days of the first century, just like it is today. Love is not characteristic of an evildoer. Is not characteristic of one that's not devoted to God and doing His will. The love of the world says, look out for me and mine. But the love of the Lord is that we love one another with a pure heart fervently. That we love the souls of men in every place. Not the evil they do, but we love them enough to teach them the Word of God and to show them what they need to do to be saved. And so we're learning here, 1 John 5, verse 2, how do we know that we love one another? By this shall all men know that you're My disciples if you have love one to another. Well, how do we do that? By keeping His commandments. And all that the Lord has commanded and told us to do. So that's what He's describing and pointing out here in this beautiful verse. 1 John 2 and verse 3 again, go back there. And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So we know God by keeping His commandments. He hears our prayers because we keep His commandments. And here we know that we dwell in Him by keeping His commandments. And we know that we love one another by keeping His commandments. And this is not an exhaustive list. But it's simply telling us what God requires. And we have the greatest of concern and compassion and care. We mold our lives, our character, to be more like Him every day. That we might know Him, but that comes through obedience to His Word. Going back to that passage there in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." Verse 22 says, "And many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name done many wonderful works?" But yet the Bible says, the Lord referring to them, saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because they didn't do what God said. They didn't keep His commandments. They didn't obey Him. That's all keeping the commandments is obeying God. And that's to whom He gives salvation. Those that love Him and obey Him. Those are the ones that will go to heaven. Do you love God? Do you love the souls of men? If you do, then you're keeping His commandments. And part of those commandments is to repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, and be immersed in the water for the forgiveness of sins. You're acting, you're doing, obeying the commands of God. We don't rely nor trust in those commands only, but that's certainly a part of it. And that the rest is of no value unless we keep His commandments.